moment. I'm aware of the time. I just don't care. Open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Matthew, chapter 19, verse 22. And as you're turning there, I want to call everybody's attention to the back of the bulletin. It does not have my outline on it. It has some words that I hope are wise. And I put these here not just for the graduates, although I hope the graduates read these words, but all of us can benefit from going through these and applying them in our lives. But David McCullough, he is a professor in a commencement address. He began with something that you don't hear very often today. He said, in case you don't know it, you are not special. Now, a lot of our kids don't like to hear that because they've been told for 12 years or 18 years or whatever that they are very, very special. And they are special. But the world's not going to treat them special. You get something, you're going to earn it. And that's what he began with. And I added to that, God nor life owes you anything. That's important to understand also. McCullough continued on. He said, I want teenagers to think about why they do what they do. That would be good for adults too. Understand and think about why you do what you do. He challenged, and I like this, climb the mountain not to plant your flag, but to embrace the challenge. Enjoy the air and behold the view. Climb that mountain so that you can see the world, not that the world can see you. So I'm just hoping that those words will depart wisdom, and you can read the rest of them at your leisure. I don't have time to read it to you today. Matthew chapter 19, verse 22. I'm just going to scratch the surface, do a little bit of my intro into this. I will finish this. Right now, I've got three messages to finish. I've begun and only got part of them. So, anyway, Matthew 19, 22 says, when the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. What I want you to see is he went away. Far too many are going away. Young people, adults, the pull of society, the pull of the world is getting stronger. The church should not and does not need to compete with the world. But that's what it, in the mind of many, has come to. And the church is coming up short. They're wanting a competition. And there is no competition. All that the world has is a little glitter, a little flash, and a temporary happiness. What the church has is stability, a true joy, faith, and a lasting eternity with Christ Himself. But it's not being seen. And even those that are staunchly a part of church, and I say that a little loosely, because really it's the body of Christ, and not all churches are the body of Christ. Not all the people that sit in them are a part of that body or bride of Christ. And they act like it. They're not in tune with what God is wanting. They're not seeing the true picture. And even Christians are trying in their minds that competition between the world and all of its little glitter and the church. And church has become boring. In the last 2 to 3 years, I've probably heard that at least 5 times, maybe more, 8 times, I'm not sure. That church has become boring. Listen, church is not here to entertain you. We're here to present truth. To lift up Jesus. To be obedient to the Word of God. That's why the church exists. To make disciples for Him. Not for us. And not in competition with the world. Here's a young man that had made it. He had great wealth. I don't know. Maybe daddy gave it to him. I don't know. Maybe he earned it. Maybe he was one of those sharp entrepreneurs that really applied himself. And at a very young age, he had made his fortune. The divine comedy places this young man in the exiles of eternity. You start reading some of the great poetry, and that is a part of the great stories and poetry, the divine comedy. And you start reading there, you see this rich young ruler. And Dante places him in hell because of his rejection. He's one of the most fascinating characters in the New Testament. There's just one little short story about him. But yet it says so much. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Mark notates it. Jesus loved this young man. Mark penned that Jesus loved him. It broke Jesus' heart when this young man turned and walked away from him. He was young. He was manly. He was serious. He was a bit humble. He was eager. He stepped into a golden moment. An audience with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. An audience with Jesus Himself. I am so sorry that it did not turn out to be a great triumph. But in retrospect, it turned out to be a defeat. I've watched young people come into the church. I've watched them grow, mature. Then I've heard the words, I'm not going to be coming here anymore. And they wander off into something. Either they've been in college and some professor has undermined their faith, or maybe they've just saw the glitter of the world and decided to follow that. Or maybe they've seen the competition and said the other team's winning, you're losing. For whatever reason, I've saw them go away sad sometimes. I know one thing, when they go away, I'm sad. Breaks my heart. Because Jesus had plans for them. Jesus has got plans for you. Just because, you know, Jeremiah says, I know the plans that I have for you before you were ever formed in your mother's womb. I knew you, God says. That's not just for the young and the children. That fits the older crowd too. God's not finished with you yet. You say, well, how do you know, Pastor? Because you're still breathing. As long as you're breathing, God's not finished. When He's through, guess what? You suddenly have a need for air. He's not finished. He still has plans for you. Jesus was going to bring this young man and create an entirely new element. He was going to take this rich young ruler and plant him right in the middle of a bunch of fishermen that knew four-letter words coming and going. Peter, James, John, that crowd, they were not sophisticated in the least. This young man probably held out his pinky whenever he sipped his tea. Not Peter, he just growled. So Jesus was going to do something brand new. The apostles would never be the same. Those disciples, that little band of men, they were going to be shook. This young man of wealth and prestige and honor, Jesus had plans for him right in the middle of that group. The possibilities of that is beyond imagination. Wasn't a question of integrity or salvation. Jesus said, keep the commandments. And he named those commandments. And the young man said, I've kept all of them. There was something else the young man wanted. And I'll tell you what it is. And I'm just trying to whet your appetite for next week or whenever. This young man wanted his life to count for something. I'm seeing a new hunger arise in the heart of our young people. They're wanting their lives to count. They're wanting something eternal, something that's not temporary. This young ruler had taken aim toward the spiritual. He said, I want to immerse myself deeper into the things of God. How do I do that? He wanted to make his life and his assets valuable to God. And he wanted to make the most out of them. Jesus said, I'll tell you the key. By the way, that key has not changed. That which Jesus told him still remains. Anything that is standing between you and God needs to be put to the side. Anything that'll hinder you from being all that you can be needs to be brought under subjection. It may be your intellect, it may be your money. It may be your prestige, or it may be your fun or a good time. But anything that's a hindrance needs to be put aside. That's what Jesus was saying. He said, okay, you've kept all the commandments. I'm going to tell you something that's rare and wonderful and godly. This young man was there teetering toward the eternal. On the one side was the world. On the other side was God's kingdom. Which way would he get off that fence? See, that choice is yours. Are you going to get off in God's direction, or are you going to get off in the world's direction? That choice is yours. This young man didn't see it that way, but Jesus did. Jesus urged him to step off into eternity. He said, one thing you lack. And suddenly, the young man fell back toward the menial, the temporary, the passing. When you step into eternity, it doesn't matter how popular you were, doesn't matter how rich you were, it doesn't matter how much fun you've had, none of that can go with you. It will stay. The only thing that's going to travel into eternity with you is what you've done for God. If you've given Him your heart, your soul, your might, He's given you everything that He's got. But if you only live for yourself, that don't go with you. What's the old saying? There's no U-Hauls behind the hearse. So you can't take the stuff with you. He fell back into the menial. And it's put so plainly, he went away sad. King James says, sorrowful. What made him sorrowful? Matthew put his finger on it. because he had great wealth. It was more than he could do. It was more than he could stand. I've just seen so many walk away sad, young and old. The price begins to look more costly than their heart is willing to pay. Other things begin to look more appealing. And people start to imagine what they have to give up. You know, when I became a Christian and started following Christ, I didn't give up anything. There was a lot of stuff that fell off me. But I gained so much more than I lost. I lost all the bad stuff and got all the good stuff. Son, that was good. The day that I got saved, the grass was greener. The birds chirped louder. The sun was brighter. The weight that had been hanging on my shoulders were gone. You know what? It's still gone. The birds still chirp a little louder. The sun shines a little brighter. Oh, sometimes I have to look through the fog to see it. Because life is foggy. But I don't want to lose sight of what Jesus is offering. The last thing in the world I want to do, and the last thing I want you to do, is to go away sad. So I'm going to end there. No, I'm not finished with my introduction. I got another page and a half of introduction. I've only done a half page. So we'll get there. You stay with me. But I want us to move into communion at this point. Those that are going to serve communion with me, if you would come up.